Let's take our Bibles and stand and turn to Jeremiah 33:3. You are dismissed to go your discipleship and to your connection classes. Jeremiah 33, verses 1 through 3, we'll be reading tonight. And I'm glad that you've come. I know we're going to take just a little bit of diversion. We're getting ready for our conference, and I want to make sure we as a church are ready, prayed up, and good to go for a great weekend. And I want to honor the Lord this weekend. Again, I thank you for being here tonight. You could have stayed home and watched the presidential debate to hear two guys talk about things that they really have very little control over. And I'm being honest. And I know the leadership inspires, but, you know, they got a Congress and a Senate and all the rest. And don't misunderstand me. I think we ought to cast our vote. We ought to vote wisely and all those kind of things. And I want to encourage you to vote. But I do realize that not one man is going to change the country around. There's only one God that can do that. And we know who that is. And so, maybe some of you, I think some of you said you recorded or whatever. If that's your thing, you know, go for it. But I'm glad you came to church tonight. Appreciate you being here. Jeremiah 33 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "Moreover," and I want you to notice as we read these verses, I want you to notice the word Lord is in capital letters, all of the letters in the name. Notice that. It's very significant. "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time, while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it, to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Heavenly Father, pray you'll bless now tonight. Open your word to us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. What happens when the world overwhelms you? What happens to believers when we have so many difficulties and so many trials and so many problems? What happens to us? Well, we're told in James that we're to count it all joy when we fall into divers temptations. And certainly we understand that God says that we ought to have joy even when we're going through testings or trials or difficulties. And it's not because of the difficulties and trials. It's because we know the outcome is going to be up to the Lord. And we learn that, and the scriptures teach us that. But what do we do beyond that? What is the thing that God would want us to do? Well, tonight we are living in a nation and a people and a society and a time period, an era in which I would call perilous times. We are in perilous times. We are in difficult times. Truly, this time period in which we live in is the most difficult time in my lifetime. I'm watching our church members lose jobs. I've seen some of our church members lose houses. I go to Walmart and places like that and see people who are in their 70s and 80s working at Walmart. I'm looking at more and more people out on the streets. Economically, they are destroyed. And I'm watching it affect all society, looking at our security within our cities are falling apart, literally. We are in a time period when really, economically, we are just going down the tubes quickly as a society. Tonight, we as a church, we want to move forward. We are not living on God's economy, man's economy. We're living on God's economy. But quite frankly, tonight, we as a church are affected by what's happened in society. You know, September was not a good month for us economically. You know, we've had some challenges economically. And that's the way it happens. Our school, we're praying for 3 more students. We need 3 more students. And we need God to take care of that need. We are coming up on a faith promise weekend where we set aside that weekend, which we can come up on, and as we approach that weekend, we want to seek God's face and what we can do to support missions. I have good news tonight. We really gave $3,000 more this year than we did last year to missions over the last 12 months, and that's a blessing. And but I'd like for us to expand our, not just sustain, but expand our mission program. I think that would be important. That would be great if we could do that. The rains are coming, though, and we have roof issues that we're dealing with. And then we still have a parking lot where we're trying to finish up, and we want to get that done. And so we have so many challenges as a church. But just like churches have challenges, families have challenges. People have challenges. Governments have challenges. That's just where we are as a society. Right now here in Solano County, I was kind of wrong. I looked last week, and I must have looked at some old numbers, because actually the economy's gotten a little better in Solano County. I think back up in the spring, we were at 12% unemployment. We're down to 10.2. And that's pretty good. That's not bad. That means, though, that in a county like ours of roughly 416,471 people, according to the county's website that we have, that means an estimated 41,600 people have no employment in our county. That's pretty phenomenal if you think about it. And yet, what are they doing? And when I think about people like that and where we are and where our society is, to me, it would only seem possible that the only thing that we could do is that we would need to go to God. We need to go to God. I'm preaching tonight on the prescription for difficulty, because truly this message is what God's answer is when you are in desperate conditions. We're as a church, we're not in desperate conditions, but we are as a society. And that society is affecting you, your family. It affects your job situations. My wife is a nurse, and you know, at her work, I mean, things are just touch and go, it seems like, all the time, because of what's happening with the situation with the healthcare. You know, that's the way it is. We are living in that. Most people today are taking pay cuts. Many who have jobs are willing to take pay cuts rather than take no job. And you know, the pressure is mounting on that. It seems to me that if I were in those such desperate conditions, that I would know where I need to turn to. And tonight, I want to remind you that we still have a God in heaven. Amen. The Bible says in Luke chapter 1 and verse 37, with God, nothing shall be impossible. Can I remind you tonight that with God, nothing shall be impossible? I'm assuming as I read that passage, that means without God, nothing is possible. In other words, I got to have God. We need the Lord. We need God more than we ever have. We need God in our church. We need God in our homes. We need God in our society. We need God in our individual lives. We need God in our school. We need God. That's just the bottom line. Amen and amen. Now, Jeremiah was in an impossible situation. His situation was very desperate. He'd been imprisoned. And the Bible says back in chapter 32, because 32 and 33 actually go together. We all love verse 33. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And we've all memorized that verse and we love to cling to that verse. But the context of the verse is what sets up really the cry of Jeremiah. What we look at is that he had been taken captive, and King Zedekiah had placed him into jail, into prison. And can I get you to go back and look with me at verse 32 for just a moment in Jeremiah, because it sets up to understand what happens in 33, verses 1 through 3. So let's go there and look very quickly at verse chapter 32 and verse number 1. The Bible said, then I said, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the 10th year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, which was the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar. For then the king of Babylon's army besieged Jerusalem, and Jeremiah the prophet was shut up in the court of the prison, which was in the king of Judah's house. Now, I want you to see this, because it's very significant. Look, verse 3. For Zedekiah, king of Judah, had shut him up, saying, wherefore dost thou prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will give this city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall take it. So what had taken place is, then basically would say it this way, that because of the preaching of Jeremiah, the king had him put in jail. In other words, he was simply doing the will of God, and the king said, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take you and put you in jail. We're going to lock you up. Because you're preaching the word of God, we don't want to hear the word of God. So we're going to lock you up. But I can remind you this tonight, you can lock up the preachers, you can lock up the Christians, you can take their Bibles away, but God can still speak. God's still in charge. Nothing's going to change. Because God says, I am the Lord, I change not. And what God says and how he's going to deal with our nation, our society, and with mankind is not going to change. And the truth is, tonight we need to make sure that we as God's people are walking in the center of God's will and we're seeking God's face. Jeremiah said, I have an impossible situation. I don't know what I'm going to do. And maybe that might be some of you tonight. You might be there. You might say, you know, this is a pretty impossible situation. You know, my house situation or my car or perhaps maybe my job situation is pretty impossible. I don't know what I'm going to do. And sometimes as a staff, you know, we as a church, we look in and say, you know, some things are pretty impossible. You know, we need to get a roof fixed and we need to get the parking lot done. And, you know, we're trying to pay our bills and take care of things, get our payroll. You know, we're looking at all those things and it seemed pretty impossible. But can I remind you this? There's a God still in heaven. God's still on the throne. God hasn't moved or changed because society has. And so tonight, I want to give you just basically three reactions, I guess you could say, on how we deal with that. And God shows those to us through these verses. Notice number one, there's the recognition of the source of deliverance. Who is going to deliver his people? Who is the one that's going to do that? Well, God shows us, go back to Jeremiah 33 in verse number 3, the Bible says, call unto me. So we are told, first and foremost, that we're to call unto the Lord. That's who we're to go to. Now, the natural tendency is that we all have the idea that we're tempted to call on man. Well, you know, boy, when things get rough, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go down and see where I can borrow money, or I'm going to go down and see where I can take care of this, or I'm going to go down and talk to this person, or I'm going to go there this way, or that, you know, whatever. The natural tendency is to call on man and not God. You know, man has the answer. Well, I'll just find me somebody will help me out. But here's what God says. God says, call unto me. Can I tell you this tonight? If you want to handle it, God will let you do it. But if you want God to handle it, he'll take care of it. Amen? Amen. And I want to tell you this too. Something I found about God. God doesn't always deliver on my timetable. Now, I wished he did. Because I've got a few demands on God tonight I want him to take care of. But God doesn't work like that because he's God, I'm not. And I have to keep that in mind. And when I look into these verses, and I'm sorry about the print. It's a little bit light there. I apologize. Or dark, I mean. And that background didn't come out real good. So please forgive me. But we're to call unto the Lord. Now notice the word L-O-R-D in capital letters. It's woven in verses 1, 2, and 3. We also find it back in Jeremiah 32 often. In fact, that word is used many times in the Old Testament. The word itself has a significant meaning. It's the word for the covenant-keeping name of God. And what that means is that God keeps his promises. And what that also means to us is that God is faithful to keep his promises to us. And here's what he says. He said, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You know what that says? God is going to do what he promises he's going to do. The name Lord, L-O-R-D, in capitals, is the word that connects us with God. We are God's people. God takes care of His people. God looks out for His people. God's faithful to care for His people. And what God is saying to us tonight is that whatever we're going through, whatever situation we're facing, that we're to call into God, because God, the Lord, is able to take care of us. He's always been faithful, and He still always will be faithful. Aren't you glad when I told you tonight, God says, I am the Lord, I change not. What He's saying is, I'm still the same Lord, I haven't changed. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so God is able to take care of that. Impossible situations, God majors on those. Those are the best times for God. God says, wow, they're going to get to see me really work. Because they can't make it work on their own. And as I began to look at this passage today and been praying over these verses for several weeks and just meditating on them and thinking about them and saying, God, You're so big and we're so little, and why is it that we think that mankind gives the answer to us when really we know, Lord, You're the answer. And so He says, call unto Me. And then secondly, in this same vain, as we look into this verse, it says here that as we recognize His source of deliverance, we realize that there's comfort in the Lord. There is comfort in Him. Look back to verse 18 in chapter 32. Look at what He says. The Bible says, Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands, and recompenseth the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is His name. You know what God says? He says, I'm all powerful. Look back at verse 17. Ah, Lord God, behold, Thou hast made the heaven and the earth by Thy great power and stretched out arm. And there is nothing too hard for Thee. Aren't you glad we have a God like that tonight? Amen. Look, He's a creator. We didn't evolve here. This didn't happen by accident. God divinely created everything that you see, and man was a direct creation of God. And what God says is, no matter what, as your creator, I just want to remind you of this tonight. God says, take comfort in the fact that there's nothing too hard for Him. And there's nothing too hard for Him tonight. You say, well, you know, what about the physical? Not too hard for God. God made your body. God knows things that doctors don't know. In fact, there's a lot of things that doctors don't know. I can't tell how many times I've had doctors tell me, they come to me and said, you know, Pastor, and standing in the in the hospital room and said, Pastor, the only thing you can do is pray, because we can't do anything else for them. God, nothing is too hard for God. That's what He's saying. And you know, financially, parking lot, roof, school, anything. Here's what God says, nothing's too hard for Me. Now, here's what the secret is: calling on God. That's it. We got to call on Him. And so tonight, what God is saying to us is that we must understand He is the source. He shows great loving kindness. He's great. He's almighty. He's everything that we need. He is exactly our answer. And by the way, He is the answer to our societal problems as well. He is. You know, we you know, really, be honest, we don't need more money. We just need more God. I mean, we need a revival. We need God to be in this place. So we understand that. There's a second very important response we have, is we must request the security of deliverance, the securing of deliverance. Do you notice back in verse 3 of 33, I know I'm back and forth here in the chapters, they go so much together. But verse 3 says, call unto Me And then what does God, what's the next three words that God says, or next four words? And I will answer. God answers as we cry out to Him. God, you can be assured that God answers. Tonight, God will answer if we call. And I believe that that's what we need, is we need to cry out to God. We do as a church. We do as families. We do as a society. We do as individuals. We need to cry out to God, because God promises to answer. Now, this answer that God gives may not always be what we want in answer, but it's certainly what God knows is best for us. I remember when I was in school, and our teacher gave us this big, long assignment sheet. And I was trying to get through, you know, through Bible college and figure all this out. And you know, I wasn't used to having this big, long sheet. And I had this big, long study sheet where I had to work through all these projects. And our teachers weren't one of those kind where they would just say, okay, here's what we're going to do, is we'll just remind you every time an assignment. No, they gave you the sheet. You figured it out as you went. Now, I can remember many times you'd show up and people in class said, I didn't know we're having a quiz. Did you look at your study sheet? I lost mine. Well, too bad. But I can remember that I was first handed that sheet, and I struggled with it. I couldn't figure out how all this thing works. And I began to pray about it. I said, God, you called me in the ministry. You called me to preach. You want me to do these things. You want me here at college. You want me to do all this stuff. But Lord, you got to give me some kind of divine revelation. You got to open up this history to me and this science to me. I just can't get it. I don't understand it. And so, Lord, please provide the knowledge base. And what God did was He led me to a teacher who taught me how to study. That wasn't what I had in mind. I thought I'd go to sleep one night, wake up the next morning, all of a sudden I had all this history knowledge. Well, that's how God answered it. Have you ever noticed how sometimes God answers things differently than what you wished He would answer them? You know, sometimes we'll say, God, we just ask you to please provide the need, and here's what God does. He provides a job. That really was what I had in mind. I was looking for it in the mailbox. It was so funny. Yesterday, I went to carry out the trash. Just kind of praying and just, you know, dear God, you know, thinking about things of where we are. You know, we're praying about our, you know, our ministries and all the different things and the provision, thinking about the rains coming. That's the one that's got me a little bit nervous. And I know that Brother John's helped and did some stuff to get the roof ready. And I really thank God for that. He's donated a lot of time and materials and things. And I know he's been real busy working on that, and our guys out here in maintenance. Just a little bit nervous. I walk out, I says, Lord, you know, I just don't know how it's going to happen. I'm just walking on, carrying out the trash, and I feel the wind blowing on my leg, and you would not believe this. This is the truth. Guess what blew up on my leg? I felt something hit my leg, and I reached down and looked, and it was a dollar bill. And I thought, wow. Wish it could have been 20,000 times more, but at least it was a dollar bill, amen? Better than a sharp stick in the eye, I guess, or something. But you know, it's amazing how God does things like that. I think God just reminds you. You know, here's what I think. I think God gave me that dollar bill just to go get me a dollar cup of coffee and sit down and pray about this thing. Just how He works. And here's what God says. He said, call unto me and I will answer. I will answer thee. And someone says, well, you know, I called and He didn't answer. Well, you didn't pray through. And when I talk about praying through, here's how I think of it. I think about praying through is when we just really get intense prayer. Real intense prayer. I was reading a book a few weeks ago, and it was really, I love what he had to say. It was so profound. It was really amazing what he said. He said this. He said, I can honestly say that 10 minutes of intense prayer did more than 10 of my messages ever did for my church family. And I thought, that is so true. That is so true. And I wonder if that's not the case with us. You know, sometimes I think we, you know, we could spend all this time trying to do these things. You know, we love to talk, you know, we have a tendency to want to talk to everybody about God, and I think that's important. Don't get me wrong, and I think we need to up it, really. And we're going to do that here in a couple weeks. But we need to spend a lot of time talking to God about people. You say, what do you mean? I mean praying in their behalf. Praying for their spiritual needs. But notice what he says. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. I looked up the word great and mighty. I wanted to know what that is. Obviously, great and mighty things, you know, we naturally think of great and mighty things like, okay, I'm praying for, I'm praying that God will provide the need and he gives us $1 million. That's great and mighty. But that's not what is really hinted in this, because I didn't find anywhere where Jeremiah was praying for any kind of financial provision at all. In fact, God is not a bank or a banker. He's God. So what does he mean then? Well, here's what, when I look into that, I wanted to know, he will show thee great and mighty things. What is he talking about? Well, letter B, man searches. You see, what I'm going to do is I'm going to search. The idea of mighty means the unsearchable future. Has the idea of fortified cities. When fortified cities in the Old Testament, they were inaccessible. You couldn't get through except through the wall, and that was by permission. And what God is saying is, he says, I've got the secret to the future. I've got everything that you need. I've got it all locked into my control. I'm God. I can take care of it. And as God, I can take care of it. And if you want it, the only way that I can help you and give you the wisdom is when you seek my face and I allow it to be unlocked for you. Because some of you tonight, you're trying to seek God's face about your future too. And what you're going to do and where you're going to go and what's going to happen. We all are. We all want to know what's going to happen 5 years, 10 years from now. I don't know about you, but boy, the way things are looking, I'm listening for the trumpet to sound that we might just go up in the rapture. Wouldn't that be wonderful if we went up tonight? Amen. We're ushered in the presence of Jesus Christ and we stand there before him in our glorified bodies. But we don't know. And what God is saying is that God wants us to realize that as we secure his deliverance, and as Jeremiah was in the prison, he says, you know, it seems impossible to me. I don't know how I'm going to get out of this predicament. I don't know what to do. I'm held down. I'm captive by people who hate me. All I'm doing is trying to preach the word of God. And now I just get put in jail and probably will die here. Lord, how's it going to happen? Here's what God says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. That's powerful. That's pretty amazing. Because we've all felt like we've been in prison from time to time, haven't we? But then thirdly, there's one more reaction I notice here. We rejoice in the supply of deliverance. We rejoice in it. Because God does unlock the wisdom. God unlocks the wisdom. In fact, the Bible said, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Colossians 2:3. That means that Jesus Christ has all the wisdom and knowledge. If there's anything that I need, I don't need to get more degrees behind my name or more books to read, though I'm not against any of that. But the wisdom that I need to live my life comes from my relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. I hope you know him tonight. I hope you trusted Christ as Savior. That's what it means. It means that I've so developed my relationship with him. And the Bible said in James chapter 1 and verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And give it to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. I'm thinking of our missionaries. You know, our missionaries don't know what's before them either. And as we're approaching this weekend and we're praying about, dear God, what do you want us to give? And how can we, how can we help out? And Pastor challenged us on Sunday night that we give beyond our ability to try to help and by faith. And we're asking you to provide and show us how that works. And Lord, we don't understand it all, but we're just trying to seek your face. We need to ask God for wisdom. I would never ask anyone to do anything they cannot do. But God would never ask us to give anything he could not provide for us either. How am I doing? You with me? God says we're to rejoice in his supply. He unlocks the wisdom. Thank God he does. Thank God he makes clear the wisdom. Who is he? Verse 2, the Bible says he's the creator. He created all these things, and not only that, but he established them. Aren't you glad God didn't just create a bunch of things and just let them float around? He created gravity and he put it all together and established it. You know, you can build a house and you can just build a roof and stick it out in the backyard. You can build walls and leave them lying around. But without a foundation and something to nail it all together, there's no established foundation. Jesus is the foundation of everything that we have. Amen. He's the creator. That's who he is. When we talk about going to him, we're talking about he who made all these things. And the Bible said he unlocks the wisdom. So when I go to him, I'm not going to someone and saying, hey, you know, what do you think, God? You know, I'm going to the God that made all things, and I'm not going to go like that anyway. I'm going to go and say, dear God, you know, I'm so weak and you're so strong and I have no recourse but to go to you. And Lord, I need you. And without you, nothing's possible. And Lord, with you, everything is possible. And Lord, I just ask you to show me what to do about my faith promise and about how to lead my family and how to face this job situation. And should I buy this house or what about this car? Or should I just kind of lay off for a while? What do you want me to do, Lord, when it comes to these things? God unlocks the wisdom. And if we need wisdom, we ask him. And then he unlocks the resources. One day he'll give it to us. He'll give us the resources. Psalm 91, verse 15, I put it in your notes, I believe there. Is it there in your notes? I think I did. I love these verses. Here's what he says. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. Anyone ever get in trouble? Anyone ever get in trouble? Can I tell you this? There are two kinds of trouble typically we have in life. Number one, they're self-imposed. And number two, they're God-imposed. Sometimes the self-imposed is what we always think. I mean, every time we have trouble, we think, oh, God's punishing me again. Not always. You ever thought about Moses? He had a lot of trouble, but it wasn't of his own choosing. It was God sent that trouble. Do you have some blessing in trouble? God sent it to him. Boy, he sure learned how to pray. Now, there were times he complained to God, but you know what? I didn't find him going to complain to the Israelites. He complained to God. But the truth of the matter is, he had trouble, and God was with him in trouble. In fact, didn't I read one time where God says, if you get out of the way, I'll wipe out this nation, make a new nation. Didn't he say something like that? What did Moses say? If you're going to blot them out, take care of me too. You know, God took care of it. God says, I will be with you in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Boy, I tell you, we all have those moments when we have these needs that we cannot handle on our own. We need the prescription for difficulty is right there on the screen, prayer. It really is. And why is something as simple and almost trivial as prayer so difficult for us? Because I think the devil knows that's the most powerful thing we got. I really believe that tonight. I believe we need that more than anything else. Now tonight I'm going to ask us in the closing moments here to do something that I don't normally ask our church to do. First of all, I want to say this to you tonight. If you do not know Christ as Savior, we're going to give you the opportunity to meet Christ. And by that I mean not that you come and get baptized, because that's not what meeting Christ is. It's we'll introduce you to the Savior, the Lord Jesus, and how you can trust Him. But if you're here tonight and you need Christ, we're going to invite you to come in a minute. And here's what I'd like to ask the church family to do. We're going to stand to our feet. Music will begin to play in just a few minutes. We're going to give an invitation. I would like to invite anybody who would like to come and pray, maybe with your family, maybe alone. I would like to ask us to take just a little bit of time, either to pray at the altar or pray there in your seat. You can pray with your friend or someone, or just pray alone. And I want you to pray for a couple things. I want you to pray, number one, that God will give us divine wisdom. God will give us wisdom as His people, how to live in this world. I want us to pray that our relationship with Him will be right, number two. I want us, number three, to pray for Him to show us as we live in this world, as we walk in this world, how He would have us to be a witness to somebody else. That's what I want us to pray for. And what we can do to develop our relationship to Him. That's all I'm asking to pray about tonight. And I believe that as we seek His face and do what God wants us to do, I believe God will honor it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, tonight, we need You. Lord, we're in desperate need of You. Lord, I pray You'd please forgive us where we have somehow forgotten. You're the one we call on.